And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. He's always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Joe Rexford, how are we doing? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. I'm watching highlights. Oh, there's Steph Curry with a 28-footer fadeaway. Yeah, I'm just watching those highlights right behind you there. Little game one win for the Dubs. You better ask somebody. Dubs are coming for you, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, I feel bad for Houston. I don't think it's going to go well for them. I did. I watched two NBA playoff games yesterday. Mostly totality.
Okay.
One of them being Thunder and Grizzlies, which was maybe the worst game I've ever seen.
Yeah, that was a real solid game. In fact, I mean, gosh, they're really – I mean, this was a good game. I mean, you know, Houston did make it a game, but blowout city right now.
The Thunder could have won that game yesterday by 75 points if they wanted to. And, I mean, look, they did win by 50.
Yeah.
And they called off the dogs.
Yeah.
So they could have won that game by 75 to 80 points had they really wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
Be a fun series for Memphis.
Well, and to your point on the play-in, you know, it's already like 1-8, you know, is already usually quite a gap. And then you take the 8 that has to play two, you know, do-or-die games and have a day off and come travel to the 1. What do you think is going to happen? You know, it makes it even more likely that you're going to have gross games like that.
It was disgusting.
But that was, yeah, something else.
It was extreme.
A special, higher level of disgusting.
It's like, wow, are the Oklahoma City Thunder the greatest basketball team in history? They sure looked like it yesterday. My goodness.
Yeah, they are good.
They're very good.
They're very good.
They're very good. My brother, who has been a longtime Oklahoma City Thunder fan, is very fired up. So we'll see how it goes.
He should be.
Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing great, thanks. Hope everybody had a nice long weekend. It was fun times with the kids outside. Good weather.
Hopefully
everybody was good.
Yeah, I hate to say it because sometimes you say it prematurely, but it kind of feels like we've made it on the weather front. Like I think we're in the home stretch of it's going to be warm for the
foreseeable. I mean, it was
future.
Hot at times this weekend.
Yeah. So I think we're there.
Yeah, I think so.
I think the cold snaps may be done.
I think we're good. Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, like I'm good with hot, like maybe not quite as much as you are, but I also like it looks like we're looking at high 70s all week. Like, I'm cool
with
that. Like,
we can ease into
good.
It.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's totally fine. Yeah. We got a big week this week, and we're going to get into a lot of different things today. Big week this week. Obviously, the NFL draft is this week, so we're going to spend a lot of time throughout the week preparing for that, getting more of your thoughts on the Titans. We'll do that throughout this show as well, particularly coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. I've got some questions for Titans fans that I want to get to. It's also we're on Andrew Brunette watch right now. There has been nothing to this point about Andrew Brunette and whether or not he will continue to be the head coach next year for the Nashville Predators. Barry Trotz is scheduled to speak later this week. We have not been told specifically when that will be, but I do think it'll be kind of midweek, somewhere in that area. So Barry Trotz will be speaking later this week, and we'll see if there's some clarity at that point, one way or the other, on what's going on with the Andrew Brunette front. And Joe, that's kind of where I want to pick up. The Predators had their end of season press conferences on Friday, and it was the players and Andrew Brunette. So the players went first, Brunette went after all that. Brunette spoke for about 30 something minutes, and we'll get into that a little bit later. I want to start though with some comments that made the rounds over the weekend from a question I had to Jonathan Marchessault. So Marchessault was kind of holding court, doing his thing, and yeah, I finally just asked him, like, you know, adjustments, style of play. Like, what do you think that those things need to be changed? Like, how do you view the style of play that you guys have and what needs to change moving forward? And here is what Jonathan Marchessault had to say on Friday.
Is there anything specifically with the way you guys play, the style of play, that you would like to see adjusted heading into next year?
Yeah, clearly it didn't work.
Right.
So obviously there's going to be some adjustment to do. I'm a guy that has a lot of opinions, so I don't think I'm going to render them out right now. But, there's definitely adjustment. I think one of the things that we adjusted this year that I think was good is in our D zone, sometimes we had our winger a lot on the boards, and now they were more towards the middle, so we kept a lot of things towards the outside, and I think our D-zone got better with that. That's one of the things that we did better this year, I think, from the beginning to the middle. So, yeah, I mean, obviously there's adjustment that needs to be done. And to be honest, my mindset is every team in the NHL should take a page of the books of the best teams in the NHL. I think they're the reason why they're there. Yes, they have sometimes they go up. They're at the cap. I think that's something that's super important to be competitive. I think some of the teams that are the best, they do something really good to be there. And I think everybody needs to take a little bit of page of the good teams in the league. That's why that's why playoff hockey is the best hockey, because that's why you look at the teams, you like see how they play their game, their system, how they adjust certain situation, you know, like, because I've had a lot of different coaches, and probably one of the best coaches I ever had was Bruce. And one thing, like me and him, we definitely headbutt each other, but he adjusts. Mm-hmm. He adjusts every game, and he's an unbelievable hockey mind. And there's a reason why they're so good. Obviously, they have the tools over there, but he's a guy that thinks the game super well, and that's something that I really enjoyed from him.
So a couple things on that, Joe. A long answer there from Jonathan Marchessault.
There's a lot there.
Let me just start with you. So you hear that. He goes on this long kind of diatribe there about adjustments that, you know, clearly what they did this year didn't work, and they got to find some different things to do moving forward. He talked about some changes they made to their D zone. But then, you know, he talked about how if you want to be competitive in this league, you need to basically look at what the best teams in the league do and you copy that. And it eventually circled back to Vegas, which, frankly, lately a lot of his comments have circled back to Vegas. And he went on basically like a love fest there for Bruce Cassidy, which also made the rounds at Vegas that they found very interesting over the weekend as well. Your thoughts on what Jonathan Marchessault had to say there?
I wouldn't call that like a huge endorsement of Andrew Brunette.
I would not either.
That was interesting. There's a lot there. And inevitably, it kind of got around to, yeah, like, let me tell you about a coach I think is awesome, who I miss, and that's how you should do things. And so I think, he danced around it, but, yeah, it kind of goes together with other stuff he said this year and just the whole idea. I mean, I think he's not happy, and I would suspect that people aren't happy with him. And it's very interesting. I know we're going to get to Stamkos too. You know, like if you're Barry Trotz, it's really important what these guys say, but I almost feel like you already knew Marchessault was probably going to say something, you know, like that was not necessarily endorsing Andrew Brunette.
Yeah.
Whereas I just feel like Trotz probably puts more stock in like what Stamkos says, I would guess, because of how things have gone.
Yeah.
And how he clearly feels, which shows up again here. Man, does he miss Vegas.
He loves him some Vegas. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I thought that was a really interesting couple of minutes there from Jonathan Marchessault on that front. He was asked, I think, specifically about like Brunette earlier in the press conference, and one thing he talked about, like, he didn't really get into the X's and O's of it, but he was just like, you know, sometimes I felt bad for him out there just because nothing we tried this year worked. So like, he didn't really get too deep into it there. So then I just asked him later on, like, what about style of play? And that's when he just kind of went off on that front there. You know, it was funny because he started that whole clip with, you know, I'm a guy who's got a lot of opinions, and I don't think I'm going to run them all out right here.
I'm going to hold my opinions back. And then, here's some opinions
on what we need to do. So I thought that was pretty interesting from Marchessault. Clearly, you know, I walked away from that discussion thinking that, like, Marchessault, I think, if he's saying that stuff to us in the media, I always try to fact that, like, what's he saying to Barry Trotz? Like, what is he – if he's comfortable saying that in the media. And, like, one thing I'll say about Jonathan Marchessault, I said last week – before the season ended, he's rubbed some people the wrong way in the Predators organization, and I stand by that. Like, that's absolutely true. One thing I appreciate about him is The dude's a straight shooter. Like, he, whatever he is thinking, he pretty much says, which I, in our world, Joe, definitely appreciate.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. He's kind of like, I mean, he's kind of like the new Duchesne, right? In a way. First of all, because I think Duchesne would also not, I mean, he would say some things and people are like, whoa, did he really just say that? Eyebrow raise. And also Duchesne, people in the organization, you know, were bothered by him. Again, different ways here, but it's kind of the same, it's same feeling a little bit, you know? And so, you know, wherever March or So goes next, you know, everybody will be like, oh gosh, come back. But, John. But man, no question that to me, that's the center of like the conflict, you know.
Yeah,
is him and sort of and yeah. Look, is he speaking? Is he speaking for a lot of people, or is it like he's kind of on an island a little bit in terms of how he feels?
Well, it's interesting. I asked Steven Stamkos the same question that I asked Jonathan Marchessault, and he gave that response. I thought Stamkos gave a pretty interesting response that was very different from Marchessault. We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Predators. We're off and running. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Nashville Predators. Big week. What does the future look like for Andrew Brunette? So no clarity on that front. We'll get to some comments from Brunette himself coming up here in just a few minutes. But we just played some comments from Jonathan Marchessault that were very interesting on Friday that went in to talk a lot about coaches that make adjustments and one coach that he loves that made adjustments that he no longer plays for, which was Bruce Cassidy with the Vegas Golden Knights. Those comments made the rounds over the weekend. So, you know, that question, that answer came from me asking him, like, you know, style play, what has to change here? So he went off on basically a two-minute answer there. I asked Steven Stamkos the same thing on Friday. I thought he gave almost an equally interesting response, but in a pretty different way than Marchessault did. Here's what Steven Stamkos had to say on Friday.
Steven, talking to Marchessault about the style of play, he said, you know, clearly it didn't work, so you're going to have to make some adjustments there. Do you have thoughts on what you think needs to change from a style of play standpoint?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, when you lose and when you're not having success, everything sucks, right?
Right.
You know, you find things to complain about. You find things to be negative about. It's any aspect of life, right? Things are going well, you know. Yeah, the food might have not been great last night, but I had a great time at dinner because today was a great day. When things aren't going well, everything sucks. You find ways to complain about things. That's human nature, and that's what, you know, crept into a lot of us this year was those negative thoughts. So when you're talking about systems, I mean, was it new for a lot of us? Absolutely. Is there things that can be tweaked, I think, to help out the group that we have now? That's the challenge. Is every year there's different players on teams that, you know, you have to try to figure out what works. You have to see what works, what doesn't work, and then kind of evolve around that. So that takes some time. That takes some thought. So I think, you know, is there one thing that's glaring that needs to be changed? I'm not sure if there is, but there certainly can be tweaks, and that's why you have those relationships with the leadership group and the coaches, and you try to feel out that process and, you know, but sometimes you need to see it before, whether it works, whether it doesn't work. And, you know, this year obviously was a tough year, so I'm sure things will be talked about behind the scenes.
So that was Stamkos on Friday, handling it pretty differently than Marchessault did, just in terms of, you know, basically he opened up with, you know, when things don't work, it's pretty easy to complain about everything. And he talked about, Stamkos was awesome Friday. He talked for probably close to 25 minutes and was really, really good just about how, like, the mental battle that he carried all year. And he talked about how, like, you know, trying to move on from Tampa Bay took way longer than he thought it was going to heading into it. Like, he was awesome on Friday. And he talked about how, like, he did not handle things well mentally this year just in terms of his approach and how negative he was at times and learning from that. So he kind of started on that front there with that answer. Sifting through both of these answers, Joe, with Marchessault and Stamkos, they both said it in their, I think, very different ways. But one thing that I walked away from there was I think both of them clearly feel like they did not do a good enough job of adjusting or tweaking the way that they play to the players that they have. And you heard Stamkos kind of lay it out there. And he didn't go all the way down the road of it, but he was like, you know, what best fits what we do now? What best fits the players that we have now on this roster, not just being married completely to the system and the way of doing things there? I thought it was a different response, but an interesting one from Stamkos. And when you sift through it, I think they clearly both feel like they've got to do a better job of making adjustments in this system if Brunette's going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that obviously that was a much more diplomatic response, but also, I mean, a good perspective, you know. And, again, that's like, to me, that's the guy, if I'm Trotz, along with obviously the veterans who have been here for 2 years with Brunette, but I highly value what Stamkos tells me, when, you know, face to face. If I'm Trotz,
yep.
You know, he's got a great perspective. Obviously, he's been a great player, great guy in the league, and all that stuff. And then you're right; there is still that, you know, it's like system. You know, system is fine, but the undertone is sort of like, you know, are you adjusting? Are you doing what you should do with the players you have?
Right. So the bottom line, when you sift through all that, is what does it mean for Andrew Brunette, right? Like, I mean, that's here in the coming days, we're going to get an answer one way or the other, I think, as to what that means for Andrew Brunette. So we talked to Brunette on Friday, and like I said, he was up there for about 30 minutes, you know, kind of answering questions on a bunch of different things. I thought it was a different tactic and approach that he took on Friday that I had not seen a ton from him. But pretty early into the press conference, I just asked him about his job status and his thoughts on where things kind of stand on that front. Here's what Andrew Brunette had to say on that front on Friday.
Yeah, I'm here to coach. You know, love my job, love my team until I'm told otherwise. I'm going to continue to work and become a better coach. And I think I'm an extremely competitive person. Sometimes it doesn't always come out that way, but, you know, and I think our group is an extremely competitive group. And we're not where we want to be. It was not from a lack of care or work. It just didn't happen. And myself and my staff, you know, we're going to go back to work. And I think we're going to take a breath. We're going to analyze, find out what we can do better, where we can do better, what went wrong. Don't have all the answers right now. I think for me, just clear my head a little bit, but I'm looking forward to finding solutions. You know, like I said, I play a long time, and my path wasn't the easiest path. And what I loved about the game probably the most was finding ways. And this is a great challenge, and I can't wait to start. And if I'm told otherwise, I feel very confident in my ability to continue that path.
So that was Brunette on Friday. And I would describe it this way, Joe. Like, he kind of went into sales pitch mode, I think is basically what it was, throughout the press conference. Like, I think he clearly wanted to come in there and show that he has some energy to try to figure this out. Now, I don't know what that means. He said that one line several times of, I don't really have the answers right now, but I'm going to figure them out over the summer. I need to clear my head a little bit, and then I'm going to do a deep dive as to figuring out what needs to change there. Your thoughts on what Andrew Brunette had to say?
Yeah, it's interesting, and like you said, the idea of overall sort of, you know, selling it. But right there, he basically was like, well, I'll coach here or I'll be a successful coach somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, good for him. It's an interesting idea. Like, how much – I don't know. You tell me, how much deep dive film after going through 82 games with this team and doing all the tweaks that you did and all that stuff, all the conversations – how much is, like, deep diving on the film going to help you in the summer?
I don't know what the answer to that is. I would imagine you've done some of that already, right? Like, as you're trying to come up with solutions throughout the year. Now, look, I do think, you know, when you're in the thick of it, it's not like in game 61 that you can just overhaul everything and totally change it. Like,
right.
At that point, you're just kind of in it, and you just don't have the practice time to do all that. So maybe you can really, really tweak things in one off season, but I kind of view it this way. Like, he talked with us on our show a couple weeks ago about, like, the starts of the season, right, and how bad they've been. And he basically is like, we're going to have to adjust what we do in training camp. Like, I think they're already thinking about those type of things. I don't know how much X's and O's wise he's gonna totally overhaul that way. Like, look, here's the way I view that part of it. If you feel like he's a good coach and you need a couple of tweaks here and there if you're Barry Trotz, then I think you can retain him. But if you feel like it's necessary for him to just totally overhaul everything he does, then you probably just need to fire him and go hire another coach.
Just get another coach, yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting situation in terms of, what he would adjust. Also, by the way, the team won't be exactly the same, so there could be a huge personnel change that changes how you view things. But clearly, like, if he comes back, the start of the season is important because two straight times now it's been bad, but also, like, especially urgent, I would say, for him this year.
Yeah.
Like, you have to start well. But, yeah, I'm with you. It's kind of like, I mean, I think their system and all that stuff, it really is like, how much confidence do these guys have in him? You know,
that's a big part of this. I think it's a huge question and a huge part of this. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Bob in Antioch. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I'd like to know how both of you feel about Marsha's show making his opinion about Brunette's shortcomings public. I have no problem with him, doing that. Obviously to Trotz and internally, but. Don't you feel that him saying that publicly just creates a totally additional level of tension and possibly a division in the locker room? I'd like to know how y'all feel about his comments.
Yep, thanks for the call, Bob. Here's another interesting part on that front. Like, Stamkos began his answer about talking about how easy it is to complain and how easy it is to, be negative a lot.
And Mark Stamkos said, let me show you.
And because, part of what I brought up was the way I asked the question to Stamkos was like, well, Mark Stamkos says that things clearly need to change around here. And he's like, well, it's pretty easy to be negative. So I do
especially
wonder.
Especially Mark Stamkos.
Like, is there some, this is just totally me spitballing here, but are there some guys in that room that look at Mark Stamkos a little bit and be like, all right, man, come on. Like, let's pick it up a little bit here.
I think that's important context. Yeah. That answer he gave was your question was referenced Marchessault because that definitely was like, some people bitch a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
not naming any names, but you just named the person. Yeah.
So I do think that is an important thing maybe to keep in mind there. This is not surprising for Marchessault in terms of saying that publicly. Like, Marchessault has always been a guy that, I said it when they first signed him. He's fiery. And he will say some things from time to time. You got to know how to handle that. And frankly, like, I don't always think that's a bad thing. Like, I think sometimes you need guys like that are pretty direct and are not afraid to stir it a little bit. I don't think you need 20 guys like that, but I think sometimes you need a guy or two like that in the room. So I'm not as concerned about the making it public part. I think if you're a good team, a good organization, you can kind of handle that when that happens.
Yeah, so much of it is, to me, if those conversations are direct and they're having them and it's all out in the open, then that's fine. I mean, some people may not like you taking it to the media, but I don't think that's a big deal. If it's taking it to the media and that's your only way you're dealing with it, that to me is the issue.
Exactly. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. A couple more thoughts to get to on the Predators front. Some very interesting comments over the weekend at their end-of-season press conference. And, again, we're going to hear from Barry Trotz at some point this week, and we'll see what the future looks like for Andrew Brunette. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. What's next for the Predators and Andrew Brunette? Hopefully we'll find out at some point this week. Barry Trotz is scheduled to speak later this week. Now, Joe, there's a chance that he could roll out there on whenever it is, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever they talk, and say, you know what? I'm still in the process of evaluating, and I have not yet come to a decision on the Andrew Brunette front. I don't think that would be a great idea. I don't think that that would be something that the fan base responds overly positively to, but he could do that. I hope that whatever the decision is, whether he's coming back or whether he's not, that Barry Trotz has made that by whenever he speaks this week. By the way, there are some coaches that are now being fired around the league. Anaheim's coach got fired. Peter Laviolette got fired. So it's happening around the league.
So Lavi's available.
Lavi is
just
available.
Just saying. Yeah, that's not happening. Yeah, if there's not a release that comes out right before he, you know, comes out there, which is sometimes how teams do it, or if he doesn't immediately just say whichever way. I mean, the release would only be if they fire him.
Right.
Or he doesn't come right out and say, I think that you guys should all just walk out. Just walk out.
You let us know when you made a decision, Barry. We'll see you.
Great to see you, Barry. We'll listen for you on Stilly. And, let's let us know, man. We'll be ready. Give us an ample amount of time. We'll show up again when you have something to tell us. He's not gonna have a presser and not have an outcome, right?
I mean, I don't think so. But I would not totally put it past him. But I don't think so. Here's where I come down on this. I have my own thoughts about what they should do. Like, if I was them, I really like Andrew Burnett. I'd probably move on because I think you need to shake this up a little bit. That's probably what I would do. But I walked in the building on Friday and in my gut believed that he's probably coming back. Like, that was the way I walked into the building on Friday. I will say, like, after talking with Marchessault and Stamkos and listening to Andrew Burnett talk in his press conference, I kind of switched a little bit. Like, I think you might get fired. Like, I do know this. Like, I think there are some Predators fans out there that believe it's a foregone conclusion that Burnett's coming back and that him and Barry Trotz have already talked about this and Barry Trotz has already made that decision that he's coming back. That is not the vibe I got from Andrew Burnett on Friday. I think he very much knows that his future is at the moment up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, look, for sure. Based on Like just the quote we played, the soundbite we played from Brunette last segment, that's not a guy who knows for sure he's coming back. No. I mean, look, say whatever you want about Barry Trotz. I don't think Barry Trotz lies. I mean, I guess every GM at some time has to at least, like, withhold something or, you know, be careful about this or that. But Barry Trotz, he's been adamant that he has not made the decision, and we should believe him. We should believe him. I absolutely believe that he's trying to go through the process as thoroughly as possible. It's a huge decision. You don't make it lightly. And, yeah, the idea that they're just playing coy games publicly and it's behind closed doors, they know what's going on, that's just not the case.
Well, here's another thing. Like, I think there are also there's been some conversations about, like, are they about to go into rebuild? Like, Barry Trotz has said some interesting things about, like, the plan always being the plan and you're waiting on the younger guys and all those things. And I can tell you, like, Stamkos and the veterans want no part of that. And, you know, Stamkos said that.
They're going to be here.
Yeah, he said that on Friday. He was like, you know, one thing he said was, like, we have talked with Barry and he has laid out what his plan is going to be in free agency, what his plan is on the trade market. That is a direct quote from Steven Stamkos. So whatever Barry Trotz has said to them, I think has been satisfactory in terms of what he's going to try to do this offseason. And those two things don't add up. Like, this idea that they're just going to try to turn this thing around and go younger and be okay with being bad next year, like, the veterans are not going to go for that. And Barry Trotz has conveyed a different message than that to them, I can tell you that.
You can't be bad next year. You cannot. You can't do what he did last offseason and be bad in any of the next 3 years. You have now been bad in 1 year. That does not mean that you can be bad next year. You can't change the roster enough anyway to, like, really go young. And you're just going to have these massive, I mean, you can't buy everybody out. You can't move everybody or anybody probably of these core guys that have all the money devoted to them.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't do it. You have to try to win.
We'll see what happens on the draft pick front, because that's obviously a big part of this.
Sure.
Of, like, you know, if they land the number one overall pick and they're drafting Misa, like, he's probably going to be here next year. So,
and,
like,
then you could see how they might be able to take these guys and be good.
Yeah. Like, you know, clearly, like, Barry Trotz, I don't know exactly, like, the player it's going to be. But clearly he's going to go try to swing a trade this offseason. Like, they've you know,
you Stamkos, think he told him who?
I don't know. Like Stamkos brought up the trademark, but like it's not a new thing. They've got a couple of the first round picks beyond their own that are they're going to try to use. Like I think you need to go try to make a splash and do that. So I'm interested to see what the offseason plan looks like. But Stamkos said, he's like, Barry Trotz has laid it out to what it is. Like John Glennon asked him about like later in the press conference, what if they decide to go rebuild? And Stamkos is like, well, look, that's a hypothetical. I'm not going to get too much into that. But he's like, that would probably mean that we have totally failed in terms of making the organization comfortable going that route. And that would not be on par with what we were told when we got here, is basically what he said.
Yeah. So, what do you think about Andrew Burnett?
About Trey Avery? Trey Avery. What did you think of Trey Avery?
Do you think
Johnny put it? But another turn the punch bowl from Glennon.
Yeah,
you know, messing up a nice media availability. My goodness, Johnny.
One other news item there: Roman Josi did not outright say concussion, but he said like basically, you guys know what this is. He's like, you know, it is what it is. And he also said like, I think there's been the thought out there that he's probably been healthy and able to play, but they're out of the playoff race, so they didn't mess with it. And he was basically like, no, like. I'm not able to play right now. He said, you know.
It's not good.
He said, you know, if I was able to play, I don't care that we're out of the playoff race, I would have played, is what he said. So
you know what it is, and I wasn't able to play, and that means it's a long lingering.
He's been dealing
he's
with
had
it for a couple
several
months.
Several of these.
Yeah, and he was asked about, like, is he concerned about it long term? And he said no. He said that he has gotten some information that makes him feel good about where he is. I don't know specifically what that is, but. Yeah, you know, I'm glad that he's not concerned about it, all that stuff. But this is not his. It's not his first one. It's not his second one. And if you go back to his entire career, it's probably not his fourth or fifth one either. Like he's dealt with a lot of these, and it's clearly this one's affecting him pretty badly.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, yeah, I don't expect him to say yes. This could all be over soon or anything like that.
Right.
But you have to be concerned.
He did say that he would be ready for camp. So he is. He said he'll be ready, and he'll be ready to play by the time camp rolls around, but still dealing with some of the aftermath of the concussion. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Steve in Franklin. Steve, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. Hey, as far as the Predators go, I wonder if it's time, and I've been a Predators fan from the get-go, but if it's time maybe to part ways with UC Saros. He just doesn't seem like, to me, I know they signed him to a new contract last offseason, but he doesn't seem the same as he was in the past. He seems slower. His reaction time just it doesn't seem the same. I know all those shutouts, they were shut out the most in the league, I believe. I know that's not on him, but I just don't think he's going to be able to, they're going to be able to go where they want to go with any goaltender. You know, see what y'all think.
Thank you, Steve. I don't disagree with you, but, I mean, that ship has sailed at this point. They've given him the deal, and, you know, I've heard Predators fans say, well, you could trade him before the deal kicks in. Good luck with that. Like
the other team knows the deal's kicking in.
I know the guys, the numbers have been going down the last couple of years, and he's about to start an 8-year contract at the age of 30. But here, take this deal.
Barry Trotz like, hey, look at what he's making right now. Just look at what he's making right now. You don't want to trade for this goalie?
Never mind what he's making here in a few weeks.
Look at his current contract. Yeah, they're not moving on from him. They
made that decision.
The future of this franchise, for all the stuff we're talking about, Brunette and all these players, who they might trade, who they might draft, man, it's as much tied to hope with UC Saros as anything.
Well, and Barry Trotz has made it clear that he's a big believer on goaltending play is a direct reflection of what's happening in front of you, which then, of course, makes you say, okay, well, if that's the case, then why are you paying the goaltender all this much money? But he believes that that's the case, and they're clearly relying on him and bouncing back in a big way next year. That's got to be part of this. We'll see if he can do it.
There's nothing more dishonest than hockey people talking about their goalie.
Yeah.
Like it's just a total bunch of BS from all hockey people about their own goalie.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the Tennessee Vols coming up next. Their former quarterback has officially found a landing spot. They're still floating in the wilderness with a quarterback on their own front. Plus, Rick Barnes says, hey, man, forget about football for a minute. Let's put the attention on the basketball program. with a big recruit. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Fog Street Lawn Club, Nashville's premier soccer pub and rooftop. Fog Street Lawn Club offers scrumptious bites, British lawn bowling, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, Nico Iamaliava has officially found his spot. He is signed with UCLA, so he has found his next landing spot there. Nothing yet for Tennessee on the quarterback front. So they are still, I guess, out there looking and in the weeds on the quarterback front and have not been able to find one to this point. So there's still some time here, but what do you make of where things currently stand with Tennessee on the quarterback front, and what does the fact that they have not found one yet signal to you about where this could end up?
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about Steve Angeli, if I'm saying his name correctly, the Notre Dame quarterback the other day. And again, like you think about him, you think about they went and got Sam Hartman so that he wouldn't play. They went and got Riley Leonard so he wouldn't play. And then the young kid now beats him out. I just think that's it may end up being a better option than
Merkslinger.
Merkslinger, but it wouldn't be exciting. You know, my question I have now is this: Joey Aguilar or Aguiar? God, do I have to butcher everybody's name? Seriously, Joey A, App State transfer who went to UCLA.
Aguilar.
Yeah. God. So he goes to UCLA from App State, and they pay him, you know, I'm sure UCLA paid him pretty well to be their starting quarterback next year. And so now Nico comes in, and I know there were some reports over the weekend that they finally, you know, told the QB room what's going on. So does he now get into the portal? And would that be the best option? Just basically a QB swap.
Yeah.
I know he had a good year. I mean, I'm personally, it's just like what Belichick just did with his QB. I like the, you know, you get enamored sometimes with like the backup at the Power Four school, you know, bigger recruit and all that stuff. I'm more on the side of like, have you produced, even if it's at a lower level, have you demonstrated that you can play?
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know how his skill set would necessarily fit into this offense, but that might end up being the best possibility for the Vols is to get him, you know, and then he gets into all the, like, how, you know, how much was he paid? Has he gotten any cash yet? You know, all this stuff. I mean, it's a, you know, tough situation for him, but maybe he ends up making more out of this whole thing and getting in a better situation after all is said and done by just taking Nico's spot.
On other news for Tennessee, not a great weekend for the baseball team. But it was overshadowed late yesterday by the top recruit in the history of the Tennessee basketball program, Nate Amet, committing to Tennessee, and Rick Barnes, who projects to be probably a one-and-done player at the college level before he goes to the NBA. He's a top-five recruit in this class, and like I said, the highest-rated recruit in the history of the Tennessee basketball program there. So that's a huge get, obviously, for Rick Barnes. What did you make of that decision by Nate Amet and what this now does for Tennessee in the basketball program?
Yeah, it's big time. It's a big time recruit for Rick Barnes. Now, I don't know who was ranking recruits like in 1975 when Bernard King came in.
I mean,
he probably isn't a better player coming out of high school than Bernard King, but or you know, or Ernie or Bernie.
Sure.
But huge get, and you know, he's 6'9", but he's a wing. He is a shooter. Frankly, I've heard the comparison. You got to be real, real careful.
I know where you're going.
I've seen
with this.
The McDonald's highlights. The guy people compare him to, again, stylistically, is Kevin Durant.
Yep.
And there is, you know, at that length, at 6'9", and with the, I mean, he is a shooter. He is a scorer, a shooter. So it's a huge get for Rick Barnes. It's a 7th 5-star. You go through the list of, you know, varying degrees of success. Obviously, Kenny Chandler was great in his 1 year. Julian Phillips, okay. Springer, Keon Johnson were both tremendous talents, especially Keon. You know, they had the 1 year. Josiah gives you 17 years in the program, you know, until retirement. You know, but he was a, you know, obviously it wasn't like the superstar that he was, that some people thought he'd be, but he was a very good player. You know, this kid's probably, you know, a 1 year player. I'm watching him play. He's probably a 1 year guy, and he's probably a first round pick next year. Although he is very skinny.
Yep.
But that would be my guess. So look, they're loading up, man, again. And you throw him in there. They actually have a really good class. You know, there's a de-emphasis now on what your freshmen can do. But they got a couple other guys I think are really going to help them, and they got a chance to be good. I mean, yeah, it just, you take the heart and soul out of the thing, and it's just like, man, okay, so now you have new people running this entire program, and you don't have the best defender in college basketball with him, but they're going to have a lot of talent on the floor next year.
Well, you bring up Kevin Durant. Here's what Amet said to ESPN yesterday. Quote, Coach Barnes sees me as a one-and-done type player. He's done it before with Kevin Durant. Sees me as that kind of guy for his program. I build a great have built a great relationship with the coaching staff, trust them a lot. They've got big goals for me. I think they'll do a great job of developing me as a player and as a young man. I trust these coaches to help me get to the next level. So he immediately threw out, hey, he did it with Kevin Durant. Yeah. So
I'm Kevin Durant part deux. Yeah, Vols fans, do not right now look up how Rick Barnes' team did in the NCAA tournament with Kevin Durant.
There's that. Hey, don't look up how they did against Tennessee and Chris Lofton. You know, Chris Lofton hit a nice shot over Kevin Durant here.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, look, man. I mean, it's
a lofty goal, but I hope he gets there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, lofty. Well, pun not intended. Nice job. But look, I'm excited. It's a big deal. I mean, Duke wanted this kid. That should tell you something.
Yep.
Cal was after this kid. And I know that, you know, Arkansas was heavily on him. I mean, you know, Rick Barnes is apparently not retiring.
Apparently not.
He's out here landing huge recruits. So that's a good thing, Tennessee fans.
Yeah.
That's a good thing that Rick Barnes will be coaching your team next year.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We have made it to draft week in the National Football League. Thursday, the fortunes, or potentially, and certainly the personnel, the excitement level will change for the Tennessee Titans franchise. What is the most burning question that Titans fans have heading into this week? We'll get into some of that coming up next. Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.